And welcome all present to the meeting. And hope we are ready for today's session to fruitfully engage on the discussions required. Can I take apologies?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. Good morning, our guests. I've got apology from Mr. Langa. He's unable to join us today. And Mr. Nomalo is going to join us a bit late. And I've got an apology from the minister. He's attending a cabinet meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I also got, but I'm sure the CEO will share when he's doing the presentation. I was also informed by the chairperson of MINTEC that they will not be able to make it, Mr. Skosani. They've got a strategic plan session that they are having at MINTEC, and also the request which MINTEC has made to be that we consider they are starting a strategic plan, and we will try and give them priorities in terms of their presentation, and then we can then go to the next part, which is the one that deals with NERSA on Kitapile. Without any further ado, can I call upon, in the absence of other apologies, go to what we are supposed to be doing today, which is part of the outstanding work. I will also deal with other issues towards the tail end of the meeting, with regards to this session of today. I'm made to understand that is MINTEC in?
We're in, Chair.
Okay. Next, sir.
Yes, we are here, Chairperson.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
MINTEC, can we start with you?
Yes, Chair. Chair, we've got a presentation, but we can't share. We need to get permission to share the screen.
Okay, both of you. I chair the meeting, unfortunately, Mr. Nicole. I don't know how to share a technology. Can those who are entrusted with technology make it a point that they grant the necessary permission?
Excuse me, sir. Can I ask about Nicole's got the presentation to be able to share?
That's why, yes.
Through you, Chair, I could, but if the CEO could give me the latest version, please. I only have the Kitapila one from Nexa side. On my email, I should be able to share, but they could proceed if it is possible. I understand. on their side, you give MinTech, the one that says MinTech, call, strike, and remove me for now.
But which presentation are they slicing? Is it the one that Carmichael sent last night? Because remember, they've got only one presentation. It seems that there's different...
If the presentation can be shared, yes. Screen sharing. Screen sharing. It is on your site. Okay. Then we do.
Thank you, Chair. Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
We can move to MinTech. We don't have screen sharing, so we cannot move the presentation to.
I don't know.
This one is incorrect, Chair.
Where is the correct one?
If they can allow us to screen share, we'll have the correct one on our side as well.
Okay, sir, can you keep the meantime email as what you have? We're trying to sort out this screen share.
Say it again.
Can you please email us the presentation that you want to share in the meantime while we are busy trying to sort out the screen sharing?
Okay, we'll type it on the comment site. Our email address on a comment site. Huh? Okay. Okay.
Now.
May I have your email address?
A.gov.za. I have given you the access to share it now. Also.
Doesn't have us. Mm-hmm. All those ones, we deliver it. We can't share it.
She
said. Can you see the presentation?
Yes, we can.
Okay, we'll proceed. I'm just getting organized starting from the beginning. It will be short. Good morning, honorable members. MinTech will be presenting their contribution to the establishment of a state pharmaceutical company. If I look at the value chain of pharmaceutical, if we start with when somebody is not feeling well, you go to a doctor, the first thing that is done, you get diagnosed. Then treatment is provided later. So MinTech is focusing squarely on the diagnosis side of the health space. Nexa deals with the pharmaceutical. We have two programs that are complementary but very distinct. So we will focus on the diagnostic part of the overall program from MinTech. Quickly, I will take you through the intent of the diagnostic program, the benefits, and briefly talk to the key pillars of the diagnostic program, which is the test kits, development, diagnostic reagents, production, and the sanitizer, then quickly conclude. Some of this information, honorable members, you are familiar with it, we've presented before. What I will just highlight is progress that has been made since the last time we presented to the Portfolio Committee. If you look at the program, the diagnostic program, it has three pillars. The one that the portfolio committee is fully aware of is the diagnostic test kits program. Then we added another program where we are developing diagnostic reagents, which are critical to the test kits development, as well as the sanitizer manufacturing program that the honorable members are familiar with. What is key for us is to establish and expand the diagnostic device industry in South Africa, as well as build local capacity to manufacture this product in South Africa. Really, that's the motivation for this program. If I go quickly to the benefits of the country, you will see later on that most of the diagnostic kits are addressing HIV, AIDS, COVID, TB, malaria, and we have introduced as well animal diagnostic kits for animal health. As I've indicated, the main aim is to really localize and industrialize the test kits as well as other related products. And you'll see later on what those products are. If I just go quickly to the diagnostic test kits pillar, as I've indicated, if you look at the high burden of disease in South Africa, and particularly those that I've mentioned, HIV, TB, malaria, and you can add to that the COVID-19 pandemic. So what MINTEC did is to refocus the existing diagnostic program to develop test kits for COVID, and I'll talk more about that later. The problem here, why we embark on this, is the lack of locally produced healthcare solution. In this case, we are talking about diagnostics and the components thereof. You might ask later on whether we have competitive products that we are developing. Our offering on point of care diagnostic kits is the Assured, and this Assured is really in line with World Health Organization in terms of producing affordable, sensitive, specific, user-friendly, rapid, robust, equipment-free, deliverable products. And our test kits are specifically in line with the Assured principle. This might sound technical, but it is important for us to understand the steps that we go through when we develop this test kit. The first part that we call research and development phase normally can take from 3 to 10 years. If I give an example, our development of HIV and TB test kits took us 10 years. Because we have built experience and expertise, it took us 6 months to develop the COVID-19 test kits. So it does differ. But what takes longer is when we start to move into the pilot production, external evaluation, registration, and manufacturing. Most of our products are sitting at pilot production and external evaluation. And we do have a collaborators, University of South Africa, SANBS, World Health Organization, Lloyds, SAPRA, and so forth. We are not doing this alone. And what is important also, you'll see in the next slide, I've indicated that if you look at HIV test kit, we're at the stage where we've submitted our test kits for external evaluations and we're at the registration stage. If you look at the two COVID test kits that we're doing, the first one being COVID-19 antibody test kit, and the COVID-19 antigen, we have submitted these test kits to be evaluated externally, and we expect the results in the next few weeks. So we're planning to even start production as early as December or early next year. The two test kits, one is to test whether you've been exposed to COVID. So we're testing your antibodies. And this test kit we are currently using at MINTEC. The second one is to detect the virus itself. So we have two test kits that are going through external evaluations. The malaria test kit also is at the registration stage. The RVFV is the Rift Valley fever. This is for animal health. Then TB, bovine TB, and brucellosis. Brucellosis and bovine TB also is for animal. But this is not the only portfolio of test kits that we have. The next slide, we're just showing the TB and brucellosis. We're talking about the next 2 years, 2022, we should have those test kits. The Rift Valley and breast cancer test kits in 3 years maximum, we should have those test kits. The malaria one in 3 years. Cervical and prostate cancer test kits, we're talking about 4 years. So this gives you a picture of the pipeline and time to market of our test kits. If you look at the test kit portfolio in overall, in the short term, in the next year or so, we expect to have on human infectious diseases, COVID-19, HIV, TB, and malaria test kits. These test kits are quantitative. They are more like a pregnancy test. The quantitative one, the ELISA COVID, we are busy with it and we expect to have that test kit in a year and a half. Medium term, 2023 to 2025, you can see a suite of test kits that we will be bringing to the market. And long term, you can see we're expanding our test kits. In the later years, we'll be focusing on quantitative test kits. They're a bit tricky, difficult. That's why we're starting with quantitative test kits. But what is novel about what we'll be doing in the medium term, if you look at what you call multiple detection, this is where that in one test kit, you'll be able to detect. One is HIV and TB. In one test kit, this is very novel. HIV and syphilis, brucellosis and bovine TB. This is where we'll be moving with this program. Quickly, we are not doing this alone. We have the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority. We have University of Cape Town doing our external clinical validations. We have a steering committee for commercialization of these products. We have DTIC, IDC, DBSA, and this is specifically for now to accelerate commercialization of COVID-19 test kits. So we have the funders, we have people who understand the business development aspects being part of this program, which is very important. We have the support of South African Medical Research Council, the Department of Science and Innovation, Technology Innovation Agency, and South African National Blood Service, which provides samples for us to do tests. That highlights on the test kits we have indicated before. Our facility is ISO certified. This process took us about 3 years, and we're happy to announce that finally the facility to manufacture test kits is ready. The facility can manufacture up to 25 million test kits per annum, but I need to hasten to indicate that it is still a research facility. So you'll see later on when we talk about a dedicated facility now for full-blown production of test kits. We have SAHPRA manufacturing license for HIV and malaria, and we're busy with the submission of COVID-19 manufacturing license to SAHPRA. We've also received additional funding from Medical Research Council, Technology Innovation Agency, and Department of Science and Innovation. Some of the key members and the certificate that we received through Lloyd's Register and international organization that facilitated the ISO registration. MinTech facility is ISO certified for the next 3 years, renewed after 3 years. Quickly, on the diagnostic reagent pillar, this is where we develop medical reagents. We are developing antigens, antibodies, peptides, nanoparticles. All these are ingredients
in developing test kits, but also for other applications in medical space. Quickly, where are we with antibodies and antigens? We are developing antibodies for SARS-CoV-2. We are at laboratory upscaling. We have developed the antibody test kit, and we anticipate in January to May next year, we will be at the pilot upscaling stage. In terms of antibodies from convalescent COVID-19 patients, which is very novel, we have isolated those, we do have them, and we will be ready between February and May next year with that antibody. If you look at now the portfolio, product portfolio on antibodies, we are busy with COVID-19 antibodies, COVID-19 antigens, HIV antigens, and diagnostic peptides. Those we should have in the next year or so. In the long term, also we're going to be developing now antibodies for disease reagents, also looking at TB, malaria, diagnostic peptides, and cancer. And we will broaden our scope to include general reagents because we are building capacity to be able to produce reagents. And the picture that you are seeing on the right-hand side, those are our peptides and antigens that were already developed, and they'll be going to external evaluation soon. Sanitizer production, you are familiar with this program. I will not spend more time on this. We indicated that we entered this space because most of the sanitizers that are out there, the quality is not good, but also they do not meet the EU specifications. On this one, you are familiar of the products that we are producing. What we are showing at the bottom there, we have indicated the last time we presented to the portfolio committee that we are busy commissioning a dedicated production facility for sanitizers. In the past, we had repurposed our research facilities to produce sanitizers, and we are showing a picture there where the facility has been commissioned and it will be ready by end of November for full production. Some of the highlights, we do submit to the market. We also have adopt a school program. You are seeing a picture there where we donated the PPEs to our adopt a school in Cosmo City, where we provided the sanitizers, gels, surface sanitizers, hand sanitizers, dispensing equipment for sanitizers, as well as information pamphlets about COVID-19. Where are we going with this program? We started from a laboratory, and we've learned that laboratory infrastructure is not ideal when you enter the commercial space. We've learned that with our sanitizer production. That's why now we have a dedicated production plant, which is being commissioned. I've indicated that the test kit production facility, even though we can produce 24 million test kits per annum, is not adequate when you go into the commercial space. Now, we have secured funding internally to establish a dedicated market commercially facing production complex at MinTech, where we'll incubate most of these technologies, we'll incubate businesses, we'll incubate to make sure that we produce enough quantities to test and develop the market, but also we are market ready in terms of all the requirements, regulatory requirements, business practices for us to be competitive in the market. This facility is to incubate. We will be partnering
with entities that have been identified that we've been talking to. This will be an incubation and a contribution from Mintec towards the establishment of a state pharmaceutical company. You will see that this facility will not be talking about test kits only. We will be producing test kits in these facilities, diagnostic reagents, and other health products, including sanitizers, aqueous creams, ointments, multivitamins. And you might ask the question, why multivitamins? Because Department of Health, one of the biggest expenditure is securing support system to boost immunity and the securing a lot of multivitamins. They are easy to produce. Our facility will be ideal. It doesn't require much expertise. What we know at Mintec will be able to produce multivitamins without doing anything extra to us. This is where the facility will be ideal even for other people who are in this space to co-locate, to co-develop, because they are more even experienced in this space than Mintec. But we have enough sufficient expertise, know-how, people, and infrastructure to incubate these aspects for the state pharmaceutical company. The impact of Caterpillar Diagnostic Program is security of supply of rapid diagnostic kits, human capital development, industrialization, job creation, direct, we are talking about at least 100 to 150 direct jobs in this facility as we speak, projected revenue generation of 400 to 600 million. Honorable Chair, this is our story. Just to summarize, we are progressing well in terms of test kits production, in terms of antibody sanitizers, as well as additional products that are required to really make our offerings competitive, but also to have a broader basket of products to make sure that we will be sustainable going forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mintec. Let me say this, and I'm sure most of the members, I mean, if I'm in that situation, might be worse than me. Let me first, from a chair's point of view, make this apology. You know, I assumed, I should have ascertained, not assumed, that this was a joint presentation, which the first people to present on it were to be Mintec. I thought it was on a joint work being done. Now, I'm worried about one thing, and maybe it's not your fault, like I say, Mintec also, that I haven't seen this presentation. I'm only seeing it this morning. In fact, here, I hope honorable members, except if there is something that they feel, can I allow that probably we don't deal with this report, but members, if they feel there will be something they need to do, we'll find a way to facilitate so that they familiarize themselves. I'm doing also in order to avoid a precedent where the principle is that reports must be received at least 48 hours before presentations, before the committee starts. I'm just requesting honorable members, but if there is something that is very extremely, that members feel that, no, we can't leave this, I will be very careful not to sound like I'm suppressing members. But as a matter of principle and procedure, I think that's what we should do. And then we deal with, I thought it's important so that it's not like I'm avoiding members to get information, but can we put this aside, allow Mintec to go and do what they were supposed to do, not in a bad way, Mintec. Maybe if there has been a miscommunication, you can deal with that issue separately. And then we deal with the next through the Caterpillar program. Can you accept that, honorable members?
The Yes, Chairperson, we support that.
Okay, no, don't worry, Mintek. We will call you when we have gone through this report, or if when we deal with Kitlapela, there are issues that we need, but for now, let's release you. If there is a need to look at when we deal with Nexa, there is a need to reference to you, we might then be able to say, go back, come back with a consolidated joint work that you are doing. Well, I thought that's the understanding initially I had. But as I say, can we put you, but members will guide me when we deal with the matter, and then we'll come back to you. Dr. Mduk, okay, ne?
Yes. Hello, Chair.
I'm saying we'll come back to you. You are released for now.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks.
Okay. The second thing, DJ.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members.
I tried to go through here, and I didn't see the name, and I tried even. Now, I only see... In fact, even now, I don't know what's happening with my gadget this side. I didn't see you. I only see now. In fact, I see now Advocate Malebe. That's the only person. I don't know what's happening with yours. I can't see on my side. Oh, now I see. Okay, so please, my apologies. I thought you were not in the meeting when we started. In fact, the normal procedure is that I should start because you represent the department and the entities fall under the department. Please accept my apology. When I looked there, I only saw Ubabumyoli and Dr. Mduk. So I thought Ubatumele Wedwa. Can I then give it to you, please? I'm not trying to enter your territory. Okay.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. No, thanks. Good morning, Honorable Members, and yourself, Chair, the Chairperson of the Nexa Board, and also the CEO, DDG, that are also in this call or meeting. And all the chief directors, the support staff to Parliament, and also all the officials that are here. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, for the opportunity that you have given to us to come and present to the members about the progress that we have made around Kitlapela. You will remember that in 2007, the ruling party adopted a resolution to establish a state-owned pharmaceutical company. And in 2009, Cabinet took the resolution for the establishment of the state-owned pharmaceutical company. The country's pharmaceutical sector is estimated about 50 billion rand and growing at average of 7%, dominated by multinationals and has also little value addition in their country, as most of the pharmaceutical products are imported. Reliance on imports, particularly of active pharmaceutical ingredients, presents a clear opportunity for import replacement in both human and also veterinary pharmaceuticals. Moreover, continental integration means that opportunities do exist in expanding exports. The state-owned pharmaceutical company, Kitlapela, is premised on leveraging the state procurement power to localize the manufacture of APIs and also to expand the formulation and packaging capabilities. The rapid spread of COVID-19 has drawn attention to the vulnerabilities of global medicine supply chains and the heavy worldwide reliance on China for the critical active pharmaceutical ingredients that make medicines effective, and also the development of Kitlapela has proven that the government took appropriate decision to establish Kitlapela, as not only would it address market deficiencies, but would also support improving security of supply. Now, we know that we have two entities, like as Mintec has just presented. You know, they are having a complementary capabilities, both Appelchem, Nexa. As we know that they are, you know, collaborating as a result of the decision that the minister took, you know, that the two entities must collaborate. To that end, the minister directed that these entities work together to revitalize and bring to fruition the state-owned pharmaceutical company. The state also owns 38% of BioVac that supplies human vaccines, and also the development of Getlapele currently is proceeding quite well because the Section 54 has already been approved by the minister. And we know that that is for the partnership between Getlapele and McLeod of India. This also includes Mintec. The department has supported and continues to support Getlapele together with Mintec. And now Getlapele is currently in the process of finalizing a supply agreement with the Department of Health, and also to finalize the necessary approvals with the National Treasury. All is progressing very well, and so we are optimistic that Getlapele is expected to realize government objectives by end of 2021, with first products expected in 2022 after all regulatory approvals are in place. I'm now going to hand over to the chairperson of the board of Nexa for a few seconds to introduce the topic or the team that is leading from the side of Nexa. Thank you very much, Chair and all members. Over to you, Chairman.
Thank you very much, DG. I'm not going to say much. I'm going to pass that across. We have on the line our acting group CEO, Ayanda Mayoli, and the managing director of the Appelchem Group, and also the chairman of the Getlapele Group, because this is the subsidiary of Appelchem. Ivan Madebi, and ask Ivan to lead us through the presentation to cover the issues that were raised by the DG. So thank you, and across to Ivan.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to the honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. Greetings to the Director General of the Department, the colleagues from the Department, colleagues from the Nexa Group, and colleagues from Mintec, all protocol observed. I will be presenting the progress that the state-owned pharmaceutical company Getlapele has made as per the requests of the Portfolio Committee. And I would really like to thank the Portfolio Committee and the Department for the opportunity to come and present the progress that we've made. As a way of introduction, I would like to take the Portfolio Committee way back to August of 2019, when the committee came to visit the Nexa facility just outside Pretoria, and we made presentations around what is happening with the group. We also made a presentation of the progress of Getlapele at that point in time. We had indicated that progress on Getlapele was proceeding. However, it was proceeding a bit slower at that point in time. Subsequent to the visit by the Portfolio Committee, there has been extensive increase in the pace of the development of Getlapele. There was a new board that was appointed at Nexa. And also, you know, the support from the department through the new board has allowed the progress of Getlapela to improve. And I would like to thank you know, the committee, the department, for all the assistance that they've been providing towards the state-owned pharmaceutical company. As an introduction to Getlapela, the main mandate of Getlapela is to localize the pharmaceutical products, especially for the burden of diseases in the country, as the DG had indicated, that besides the fact that Cabinet had taken the correct resolution to say that there need to be a state-owned pharmaceutical company to support the developmental objectives of the country, there's also a market need for the localization of pharmaceutical products. And we have seen that the bulk of the products that are required by the country and the region are mostly imported. And in our country, about 90% of the population is primarily served by the Department of Health. So essentially, the state is the main provider to health services in the country. Therefore, Department of Health naturally becomes the main market. So if you want to enter into the pharmaceutical space, the main market therefore becomes the Department of Health. Now, as a state-owned pharmaceutical company, the business model is therefore to leverage the state procurement power by making sure that when we have the set-aside or the long offtake agreements with the state, we are able then to attract international partners who will then bring the capabilities that we don't have as the country to start with the local manufacture of the APIs. Now, the honorable members of the portfolio committee, when you go to a doctor and you have a headache and the doctor will prescribe 5 milligrams of paracetamol, when you take that pill and you weigh the pill, you will find that the pill is weighing about 7 milligrams. Now, what the doctor has prescribed is called the active pharmaceutical ingredient. That is the molecule that will take away the headache. So in terms of the pricing of the pills, between 60 to 80% of the pricing or the value of the pill is in the APIs. Now, most of those APIs are being produced in China and in India. And in our country, there's very little production of APIs. The country is the largest single market for HIV/AIDS. So that means that we are the single largest market for ARVs. However, we are not producing ARV APIs in the country. The current providers to the Department of Health and the private sector are only doing the formulation and the packaging, meaning that most of the value is being exported to China and India. Getlapela is there to make, to localize the APIs in the country so that there's security of supply, amongst others, but also to do formulation and packaging. As a start, Getlapela will be starting with the ARVs for the treatment of HIV/AIDS, and over time, as they increase the capabilities through partnerships, they will then move into other products such as TB and malaria. And later on, we will also move into the lifestyle diseases, you know, including cancer, mental health, and diabetes. Now, last year at a budget vote, the minister, having observed the complementaries between the work that the Nexa Group is doing and the fantastic work that Mintec is doing, the minister directed that we look at, you know, working together because they are doing the test kits. As the CEO has indicated, they do the diagnostics, the rapid diagnostics, and we do the treatment. So therefore, that makes the state-owned pharmaceutical company to be, you know, capable of both, you know, providing the test kits and also, you know, providing the pharmaceutical products. To be able to build the state-owned pharmaceutical company without a recourse tourist aid in the development. The model, that financial model, has been that of a project financing model, whereby the offtake agreement on competitive basis with the Department of Health is then used to raise project funding to then execute the CAPEX required to be able to deliver to the Department of Health. So the design of the business model is such that there is no financial recourse to the state. At the end of the offtake agreement, the state has an asset that is worth multiples of billions of rands, and the state is also able to generate the much required jobs. It's also able to generate, the much required improvement in the balance of trade, because after oil, pharmaceuticals are the second largest contributor to the negative balance of trade. Next slide, please. Next slide, please, colleagues. Thank you. This is an overview of the value proposition. The government has 7 key priorities, and we have determined that Caterpillar is able to positively impact on 3 of them. However, as the whole group, the Nexa group, and the other entities within the department, we're able to contribute to a lot more. As I indicated, that Caterpillar besides assisting with some of the deficiencies of the market where there is no localization, Caterpillar is intended on a commercial basis to support to increase the security of supply of pharmaceutical products in the country. We anticipate that based on the current business case that has been approved, we anticipate about 700 direct jobs to be created and an incubation of a further 2,100 indirect jobs. And we anticipate that from the first period, the localization of APIs will be worth about 1.7 billion rand a year, starting with the ARVs. I did highlight earlier on the capabilities that we don't have as a country yet with regards to the APIs. So together with a partnership, so our partners Matlud from India, they will support us by bringing those capabilities. First and foremost, they will bring all the licensing and dossiers that are required. Those will be transferred to Caterpillar. They will bring the technology. They will bring the manufacturing know-how to Caterpillar. Therefore, as part of that process, we will be able to capacitate our people on a basis of about 200 people per year. And also we anticipate that at full speed, we will be able to support the improvement in the trade balance by about 2 billion rands a year. Of course, with Caterpillar being a member of the Nexa group anticipated to be healthy in terms of cash flows and profitability, it will also enhance the sustainability of the Nexa group. And of course, when you are profitable, there will be business taxes that will be contributed to the fiscal. There will be further income taxes amongst others. Next slide. So this is the proposed Caterpillar business structure. The model is that Caterpillar remains 100% state owned, and Caterpillar will have a number of partnerships in the form of JVs. The first one, which is the largest and the most important one that we're starting with, is the ARV JV that is already being approved by the minister in April of this year. That's where Caterpillar will hold the majority stake of 51%, and our partner from India will hold 49%. And the main product that will be coming out, that will be the ARVs. The two main molecules that are in demand by the Department of Health and the private sector is the TEE and the TLD. So this is what we intend to supply, as the DG had advised earlier on. The readiness to supply those products will be about July 2022, after all the regulatory processes have been concluded. And so with MINTEC work, MINTEC is still finalizing the work on the test kits, and also there will be a number of SPVs in future. So at this point in time, you know, this is the proposed structure, you know, for Getlapela. This slide presents the milestones. The green ones are the milestones that have been achieved, and then the black ones are the future milestones. As I indicated earlier on, the main milestone for this year was the approval of the business case and also the approval of the transaction with Matloot, you know, to establish the JV, you know, for ARVs. Post the approval by the minister, the project then moved into now the operationalization of the state-owned pharmaceutical company, where a team to start preparing for operationalization of Getlapela was established in May. So some of the members who were in the development were also moved to the operationalization for continuity. In August, a regulatory pharmacist was also appointed, and we're looking at, you know, appointing a licensing pharmacist in the next few months as we prepare for all the licensing processes, including the transfer of the permits and the licensing from our Indian partner to Getlapela. And from August, the negotiations with the Department of Health on the offtake agreement had formally commenced, and the discussions have been very fruitful to an extent that a decision by the DOH was that a working stream to finalize the modalities of the offtake agreement was then established between Getlapela and the Department of Health, and the working stream had completed their work, and they have already submitted a submission to the Department of Health. In that process, the Department of Health had also started to engage the provinces for concurrence on the offtake agreement, and we are expecting a decision very soon from the Department of Health. As part of the approval by the minister, there was also engagement that the department had started with the Department of Health and also the National Treasury, you know, in line with the Public Finance Management Act, as the National Treasury will also, you know, have to approve first the procurement deviation that will be required by the Department of Health, but also, you know, to approve and provide concurrence on the transactions that have already been approved by our ministers. In November, as part of the process of preparing Getlapela to start trading in future, there was an approval by the board to appoint additional directors. So now Getlapela has five directors who are now in the process of setting up all the governance structures and also, you know, preparing to appoint and to make the administrative structures. So it's expected that you know, early next year, there will be an administrative structure for Getlapela that will be in place as part of that operationalization. And it's expected that by February of next year, the formal funding application to IDC as part of that project financing would then be started. However, I would like to advise the committee that there has been engagements with the IDC, the latest one being yesterday, to prepare the term sheets so that there is clear understanding of what will be required by the IDC. The IDC has also been one of the founding members of the state-owned pharmaceutical a program way back in 2011, so they are very familiar with this project and also the outcomes of the project. We're also not only looking at the IDC, we're also looking at other different sources of funding, such as the EC Buyer Fund coming from the PIC, and also, the New Development Bank. So there's a number of because we are so confident with the business case, and as soon as the offtake agreement is in place, there will be a number of engagement with other funding sources to provide the necessary funding. And the National Treasury final approval is expected around about March of 2021. And it's expected that the transfer, and that is an important focus for Getlapela in 2021, is the regulatory processes, where all the SAPRA and the DOH approvals. But the DOH, not only will it be the off-taker, but they also have a portion of approvals for pharmaceutical companies. So the main focus in the next financial year will really be on the regulatory aspects. And that's where, within the group, there's also a concerted drive to get as many resources being put onto Getlapela to support the regulatory process, which is very intensive. There has been engagement with SAPRA, at the highest levels of SAPRA, including the CEO, to advise them of what the state-owned pharmaceutical company is doing. And they've given us also very good guidance to ensure that, we supply the right documents at the right time to ensure that they are able to process and ensure that we are able to comply with all the regulatory process. So next year will be very hectic for the team in the regulatory space. And it's expected that the commissioning of the formulation and packaging facility will also be completed by the end of next year. Something that I need to mention is that Getlapela is actually built on two important phases. The first phase will be to import the pharmaceutical products, through our partner to formulate and to do packaging. So this is the same model that the private pharmaceutical companies are doing. That allows Getlapela to then generate the cash flows to be able to fund the construction of the API facility. Now, that's where there's the biggest differentiator between the private pharmaceutical companies and the state-owned pharmaceutical companies, because we're going down the value chain to ensure that as much value gets developed and gets created and gets incubated within the country. And therefore, by May 2027, then the API manufacturing facility would have been completed. They would have the necessary permits and licensing, and the locally manufactured APIs would then be produced from that facility. And as I presented last year, in the model, we are building sufficient capacity for APIs, not only for Getlapela. We're building sufficient capacity for the country, so we will also be able to supply to the private companies. Now, this model of leveraging the state-owned pharmaceutical company, that is a proven model, because in 2003, the model was effected with great success for a company called BioVec, of which the state, as the DG has indicated, owns an equity in there. And based on that, and the offtake agreement that the state provided to BioVec, BioVec was then able to build a business case to start the production of human vaccines in Cape Town. Previously, those vaccines were imported, were fully imported, but now we have localization of those human vaccines in Cape Town. So this is a tried and tested business model that we are very confident that it can be replicated to other sectors of the economy. And next slide, please. So the next two slides, honorable members, are just giving details of the milestones that I've highlighted. And then the last slide is on the risk analysis. In any project, you know, whether small or major, in any business, you know, small or major, there are always risks to the objectives of the project or the objectives of the business. So these are the high-level key major risks that we had identified to the project. You know, the category of the first three, you know, relates you know, to creep in terms of timelines. You know, the first one was, you know, the creep in delays in approvals, as I indicated earlier on, that, you know, there was a work stream that was set up to mitigate against any delays around that. With regards to, you know, the possibilities of late payments of, you know, invoices, we had anticipated, and the mitigation plan we put in place was then to have an extended payment terms agreement with Matlud. So the payment terms from the DOH is 30 days. We've agreed to a 90-day payment term, you know, with Matlud. But also as part of the funding plan, we also, you know, in the process as part of that to secure, you know, some facilities to enable us, you know, to have overdraft so that we have that, you know, leeway in case there are delays, then we can use the overdraft, you know, for all the operational requirements where required. And as I indicated, that, you know, the registration process is very comprehensive. So we're also engaging with SAPRA, this pre-engagement that has taken place, but also, to, you know, through the departments, they are also, you know, in the process of engaging by providing a letter of support so that there's understanding on the criticality of timelines for a state-owned pharmaceutical company. Currently in the country, we don't have the skills, you know, for this kind of API manufacturing. So the mitigation is that there will be resources that will be seconded by our partner to help train in the beginning our people that are currently or will be working, you know, for, you know, for Getlapela. But in parallel to that, we have started engagement, you know, with the likes of Cheetah and also the services CETA to assist us, you know, with providing support, you know, so that we can start you know, having training centers or leveraging existing training centers to have programs that are relevant, you know, for API manufacturing. In terms of funding, you know, the process has already started with the IDC, and it will be formalized once the offtake agreement is in place. And but we also started process with other funders. Chairperson, with your permission, this would be the last slide. We do have backup slides in order to provide additional information. Thank you for the opportunity, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. That brings us to the end of our presentation. Over to you, Chair. Thank you very much.
Okay, DJ. Pelo umtapho kufanele ubuye ubuyele kuwena. Honorable members, there is the presentation by Nexa. Thank you, Nexa, for that. Any take, honorable members? Sis Valencia, any other member? Mama Togwe, any other member? Nsegazo, Volmarans. Mnumzana Mahlawule, Mhlonishwa Ukula. Okay. Malinga. Not over. Honorable Malinga.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning to yourself, members of the Portfolio Committee, and my department led by the DG and the entities in our midst. Chairperson, let me first welcome the presentation as made by both Mintech and Kitlapile, and I appreciate you, Chair, the work that is being done by a pharmaceutical company, a state-owned pharmaceutical company, Chair. Chairperson, I don't have a question to be exact, but I just want to commend them for not wanting to be the smaller player in the field of producing medical supplies in terms of the ailments that the country is battling with your TBs, your HIV, your cancer, Chair, and that I commend them for being the major stakeholder by being a shareholder of 51% and India 49%, Chair. And Chairperson, lastly, I just hope that they will adhere to the timelines that they have put to ensure that this project it starts off from the ground so that we can see the results as the Portfolio Committee, Chair. That's all for me now, Chair. Thank you very much.
Okay. Honorable Madoga.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I hope I'm audible today. It's just a clarity seeking question, Chairperson. I think on slide 4, I was just looking at the timelines there, where it says that the aim is by 2022 that we will have our Kitlapile branded product, and then 2027 we'll actually have the fumous pharmaceutical ingredients. So I wanted to find out whether these branded products that are being aimed to be produced by 2022, will they be produced by the company or by the state-owned entity, or will they just be branded? And then also, I'm trying to find out perhaps why the 7-year timeline before we actually get product.
Okay. Are you done?
Yes, I'm done, Chairperson. Thank you.
Honorable Volmarans.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me join my colleagues and the department by greeting, and also put across that from what Mr. Miyoli said in the beginning, which I agree with, is that when you went there, there was some uphill, but you must take solace on the path that they have taken in as far as dealing with a lot of issues that were problematic to them, and thus positioning themselves to contribute positively towards giving positive results to the stable itself, but also to the economy. The job creation effort of their encounters should be applauded. They have made quite significant progress, and I'm joining everybody in saying this is a welcome presentation, and to show where it looks to. Mintech presented before them, and you can see there is some cooperation between them in terms of what they need to do. And that is what we have been preaching for entities in the same stable to cooperate and talk the same language. So with the dates that they have set themselves, from starting up, getting the capital, getting a board and so on, the dates are well within range when you look at what it it takes to put some medicine or some structure on the table. Now, I'm just interested in the 49-51. 51 is Getlapele, 49% is McLeod. And I know they must have done that. A background check on McLeod and what is happening globally with regards to McLeod as a company. There were issues mentioned in the past couple of months of some tablets or medicine withdrawn from the shelves in the US. And also there were a number of issues in reports where they had uncompetitive behavior issues. Are these issues that you must zoom into in as far as a risk is concerned? And I would like to have them have a take at that. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Kola. Honorable Kola, sir. No, sir, to give Honorable Masaule.
Thank you very much, Tristan. I think the technology understood that you called my name first than Comrade Kula. Greetings, Chairperson, and greetings to your colleagues. Greetings to the DG and his colleagues in the department. Listening to the presentation today and listening to a presentation either from Nexa or Getlapele or Pelcam a year ago are two different, and I must commend the entity that we are listening to something that gives hope today than what we have been listening to probably a year ago. It was depressing. We just want to say to the department, most of the entities that we are listening to today, you get a sense that indeed colleagues are working very hard to change what has been a depressing state of affairs. Chair, when you do good is where you get asked questions, but they are comfortable questions rather than uncomfortable questions when you are not doing good. The first question that I want to ask Dr. Nicole is probably the question that you expect as to how far are they in getting a CEO for Nexa. I know we're dealing with Getlapele, but that question I'm asking deliberately. That is one. Two, if I heard correctly, the MD of Pelcam mentioned that they met with the IDC yesterday, if I did get correctly. Considering the fact that the IDC loan was approved in 2018 and they met the IDC yesterday, was the meeting about the reapplication or discussing ways in which the reapplication can be launched? And what is the feeling of the board? Because last time it's the board that did not approve a loan that was approved by the IDC. That is the second one. The third one, Chair, is probably not relevant to Getlapele, but I can't recall who it's relevant to between Pelcam and NTP. You would remember, Chair, the first time we interacted with Nexa, meaning Telkom and NTP. There was a mention about a certain substance that used to be manufactured either by Telkom or NTP that would be part of any spice that we consume, any spice that we consume or we are consuming on our everyday life. And a major market for that was the South African Defense Force, if I remember correctly. What happened to that, and what happened to resuscitating that market? Because it was mentioned that there would be a resuscitation of that substance to enter the market in the form of spices and all of that. I'm asking this because I don't know whether it's relevant to Telkom, Getlapila or NTP. It's a while ago when we got presented with that. Thank you very much.
Okay. Is Honorable Phillips?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Director. I'd like to thank everyone for the presentations this morning. I just have two questions. The one is, I'm just a little bit concerned on the direction that Mintek is taking. This whole research of medical tests and stuff seems to be sort of consuming them, where their core business is minerals technology. So I'd just like an assurance that they are still actually focusing on the minerals technology part of it. And then I'd like to know what the financial implications are.
Yes, Honorable.
Can I apologize to Mrs. Phillips? I just want to check if we are allowed to speak on Mintek, or you deferred it to another day.
No. I'll respond to that. Don't worry.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll continue, Honorable Phillips.
Thank you so much. I apologize if that question is not in line today, but I am just a little bit concerned. And then project. It's amazing. It's an amazing project. And I love the fact that jobs are being created. I'd just like to know if there is any financial implication to the government in this project. Thank you so much.
I hope they put. Are you done, Honorable Phillips?
I am, thank you, Chair.
Oh, you know the problem with technology, you may never know whether a person when is silent because it's done or it has been cut off by the system. Okay. Honorable Kula, are you still here?
Oh, yes, Mr. President.
Come in, please.
No, thanks. Greetings to you, Chair, and colleagues in the Portfolio Committee. Greetings to the delegation of the department led by the DG, Advocate Mokwena. Chair, I only have two questions and then a comment. My first question is around the heavy workload or target that the Getlapila has set for themselves for 2021. I think it's about almost 7 major targets that they've set for the following year, compared to 5 which they had set for themselves this year. So I want to understand that how feasible are these targets? Will they be able to fulfill all of them, these targets that they've set for themselves? The second question, Chair, is on the risk analysis. Where Getlapila speaks to question of skills shortages in the country and an argument with Metloid that they will conduct there will be training, they will provide South African food resources and also provide training for our own personnel. So I want to understand that how long will that process take that will be undertaken by Metloid? And who is then the target that Getlapila intends to train so that they are able to drive this project, Chair? The last one, Chairperson, is a comment that I would want to commend the leadership of Kitlaphela, that they must continue to do the good work in that they are doing, that they've got our support as a portfolio committee, and that Kitlaphela will be a breath of fresh air in the pharmaceutical space. Because in the past, we used to have greedy pharmaceutical companies which were exploiting our people, which were fixing prices, which were not contributing productively to the economy. So Kitlaphela is a breath of fresh air, and we are hopeful that they will be able to play a meaningful role in the pharmaceutical space. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. No, let me deal with the first issues. No, Honorable Phillips, I requested that we put the issue of including their presentation in abeyance, and we may decide when we finish here whether to call them, but or how do we think they should, what are the mechanisms? One, two, the issue with them was only on the part, only the section that deals with the issue of medical, with the short of words, medical research work that they do, not the entire part. I take the point of what you say, which I think it will be subject to the work, to what we agree, but they were not going to deal with the primary work. But I know the concern that the risk and the danger could be that they get so much consumed with not their core mandate. I think it's an issue that when we deal with the entities in terms of what they have to do, especially during the period of their annual, we can only measure that when we deal with their the APPs and their annual targets as well as their budget. That's where we can be able to track and trace whether they do that. I want to propose something at the end when it comes to the question of medical research and nuclear medicine in the context of the Kitlaphela, if members allow. But I want us to park for now the issue with regards to that presentation. But also, I don't intend to teach a wrong practice. When the rule says within 48 hours, we should never allow a situation where we compromise that exercise, because in future, that's what people will do, and then we find things that are sitting here with non-compliance. So it's also a procedural matter. That report, as I said, from the chairperson's point of view, it was not in compliance with what we were instructed to consider for reports. So, but we are still here. In terms of the mandate of all these entities, who are within our rights to make such observations, but I think that's what I would say for now. Again, I think without going to the reports, the department can give us that assurance in just one sentence, and then we will then measure whether what they say. Is really what we needed to do. I'm not answering on behalf of the department. That entity falls under the department. But the report itself, I'm requesting that we should not deal with it now. DG, you are on the floor.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. We would like to welcome the questions from the honourable members. Now, there are questions that are directed, or one question that is directed to the department. I will wrap it up at the end. For now, Chair, with your indulgency, I would like to hand over to the Nexa, Mr. Khadebe, together with the team to respond to the questions that have been raised by honourable members. But I'll come in just to wrap up everything. Thank you very much, Chair. Over to you, Ivan, and the Chair of NEXA.
Thank you, DG. Can I just say that all the questions there is one question I want to handle from, which is asked to myself, and I will pass the rest back to Ivan. The one about the CEO of Nexa, all I can state is that the CEO, that the Nexa board has been through a recruitment process, has interviewed all the compliant candidates, and has issued a recommendation to the DMRE in line with the Act, which says that the appointment is made by the minister, not by the board, but made by the minister on the recommendation of the board. So I'm going to bounce that question straight back at the DG. So yes, we have progressed. We are waiting for the approvals or otherwise of the recommendation made by the board. So with that, I'll pass it across to Ivan, if I may, to answer the questions raised.
Thank you, Chairperson Day of Nexa and the DG. I will start with the question from Honorable Matokwe regarding the two main points, the July 2022. As per the timeline, we intend as a first phase to import the APIs from our partner, because at that point in time we will not have the API manufacturing facility ready. So we will have the formulation and packaging facility ready. So the APIs will be imported from our partner, and we will do the formulation and the packaging. So as part of packaging of the product, it also includes the branding of the product. So therefore, the boxes, when they leave our facilities, they will then be branded Caterpillar. At that point in time, we will also have, you know, the necessary licenses from the regulators to distribute the products. So it's not only branding, there is value that is being added along the way, but the biggest value, of course, will be when we start manufacturing the APIs. And the second question was, you know, why the 7 years to get to the API manufacturing? The project is quite complex and is quite large, and this is one of the reasons we've divided it into two, so that it's easily manageable, but also it assists us to de-risk the project. So the API part is the most complex. That's where there's a lot of technology required. But also in terms of the licensing, that's where the licensing process is also very extensive. Now, the designs of the API facilities, you know, also takes about 2 years or so, you know, to get the designs going, but also to get the designs approved by the relevant competent bodies and competent officials. Then you have, you know, the matter of the environmental impact assessment. Now, this is very critical, the environmental impact assessment, because the facility for APIs, it uses a lot of hazardous, you know, chemicals. So there's a lot of studies that needs to be undertaken, and there's a lot of number of approvals. There's, you know, stakeholder engagement as part of the you know, the EIA process. So it's a general you know, project development for infrastructure. So that's how it takes so long. And once all those designs have been approved and the funding has been put in place, then the facility will then be constructed. However, before the facility can be used, there's about a 12 to 16 months regulatory process where the facility must actually be certified that it meets, you know, the requirements. There's an important requirement, which is, you know, the GMP requirements. So the regulator will then have to certify the facility, and hence, you know, the long lead items. Now, the experience of Mintec has also been, you know, applied in the planning of the regulatory process, because they've got small, you know, demo plants and they have to go through those processes. So we have absorbed, you know, some of the experience that has been built there. The second question was from Honorable Van Rans regarding the JV with Matlud. The question was there background checks? Yes, there were background checks as part of the due diligence. So before we could appoint Matlud as our partner, we had received permission from the department in 2018 to go on an international expression of interest. So it's more like a tender process where we put our criteria and we say, you know, to all the players out there, we are looking for a partner who can, you know, bring these capabilities to us. The main criteria was, you know, somebody who already has or possesses all the technology, the licenses, and also those licenses must also be registered in South Africa. They must be registered in the US and the EU. That was, you know, the second main criteria. Somebody who's willing, you know, to comply with the South African laws, and also somebody who is willing to make minimum production capacity to get Caterpillar of 2 million packs a month. And as part of that process, Derco, you know, was also involved in supporting us in reaching out, you know, to all the missions, you know, globally, so that we can get maximum response. And after the evaluation process, that you know, we had an independent, so SNG was an auditor of the tender process. SNG also, you know, audited the preferred bidder, you know, to confirm that we followed due processes. But also that the preferred bidder, you know, which became Matlud, you know, met all the requirements. Post that process, there was a due diligence on the business case itself. Now that we have a preferred partner, we're getting information from the preferred partner that fit into the business case. Once the business case was completed, we then appointed a company called Singa Capital that also worked with ENS, and they then undertook a detailed due diligence on the business case and also on the partner, and from there on then submission was sent to the department, and the department also undertook their own processes in making sure that, you know, the business case was sound and solid. So the necessary background checks, you know, have been done. And of course, in any partnership, you know, there's always, you know, regular reviews. So in the process I mentioned earlier with the Department of Health, Matlud is currently also a supplier to the Department of Health. And, you know, the Department of Health has also been assisting, you know, with us getting more information on how the performance is going with Matlud. So, now we're comfortable with the work that has been done in assessing our preferred partner. And so that was the main one. Of course, there are always, you know, newspaper regarding problems, you know, with pharmaceutical products. But to our knowledge, our partner hasn't had, you know, to retract any pharmaceutical products because they didn't comply, or maybe they could have been, you know, problematic in South Africa. But we do know that, you know, in the US, you know, there were some products, you know, that you know, have been retracted. But we're still getting further details on which products were retracted from the US. But as far as we know, they are not the products that we intend to supply to the Department of Health. And the next question was from Honorable Mashaule regarding the meeting with the IDC. The meetings with the IDC was at Nexa group level, you know, to look at the funding requirements of the Nexa group. So there's funding requirements, you know, for investment projects to help, you know, grow the group. There's also funding requirements, you know, to refurbish, you know, the existing production facilities. However, the main agenda element, of course, would have been on Caterpillar, So with regards to the 60 million loan that Honorable Masaula referred to, that was also a discussion point because the loan had expired because we were not able to draw down for many reasons. The IDC has indicated to us that we can reapply. So the Parking Board has already given resolutions to management of Parking to then reapply for a loan. So the reapplication process will be initiated. And of course, as I mentioned earlier on, as soon as the off-take agreement is ready with the Department of Health, then the formal funding application for Ketapela will also be initiated. The next question was from Honorable Kula regarding the targets for 2021. Honorable Kula is quite correct to say the targets are very tight, and his question was, how feasible are the targets? Without us putting in more resources onto the project, the target will be very difficult to achieve. As I mentioned earlier on, the group is in the process of putting in more resources, especially on the regulatory side, because that's where the biggest focus is, to ensure that we comply with all the regular requirements. So with the additional resources that have been put in place, we are quite confident that despite the targets being very tight, we are quite comfortable. We're quite confident that we'll be able to reach the target. It will be painful, there will be a lot of long hours, by the team, but the team are now, used, to long hours, to achieve this important project for the country. The second question was in relation to skills shortage, because the project is in two phases, and the first targets of people to be capacitated are those people that will be employed, by Ketapela and the group, so that they have the necessary capacity to deliver for the company. So in the first phase, it will be the Ketapela employees, for the packaging and formulation. In the second phase, it will also be the Ketapela employees, because that's where now we will be producing the APIs and those capabilities. In parallel to that, we will continue with the standard program that we have as the Nexus group, where we are providing training and development opportunities to the country. So we've got a training, the world-class training facility here on the Pelindaba side, which will also be leveraged to provide the students coming from universities, students coming from technicons, students coming from colleges, with the necessary training that they require to complete, their academic studies, but also to give them, precise, specific training that is targeted, towards the pharmaceutical sector. And so once our people have built the capabilities, those resources that would have been deployed from our partner, would then go back, to Matlud in India, and our people would then, continue to do their work because they would have built, the necessary capabilities. The last question was from Honorable Phillips regarding the financial implication to the government. The business model that we have developed in anticipation of building a bankable business case was to have no financial recourse to the state. So the Nexa Group has been funding through its own internal resources the development of this project. So there hasn't been financial recourse to the government. However, in a CAPEX space where we have to get funding to build the facilities, again, there is no financial recourse to the state because the offtake agreement, the 10-year agreement with the Department of Health, will then serve as a form of a guarantee to the lenders, such as the IDC, such as the PIC, to give funding to the project. Of course, you know, the lenders will also do their own due diligences on the project, but the way we've designed the project is in such a way that it will not require any funding, direct funding coming from the government. So we don't foresee any financial recourse to the government. Through you, Chair, I hope I've covered all the questions, and I'd also like to thank the committee and the members for the kind words and also the support to the team. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Managing Director of Pelcom, and also the chairperson of the board of NEXA. To deal with the, I think it's only one question that is directed to the department. It is now at an advanced stage. A decision will be effected very soon. Lastly, Chair and Honourable Members, I know that you can't applaud a fish for swimming. We would like to thank you for your kind words of support that, the work that has been done by NEXA, working together with is a subsidiary which is Pelcom. There is a good progress. And also when you look at MinTech as well, Chair, I must also clarify this point, Chair. Thank you very much for your guidance. The presentation of MinTech, if you look at the presentation that the Managing Director of Pelcom has just done now, there are similarities. Now, the understanding was that, all the issues will be captured in one presentation. That main presentation of MinTech, the inputs have been put into the presentation on Caterpillar. But we will then actually get your guidance in regard with what we should now do from here. But indeed, HF, we know that presentations must be submitted at least 48 hours before the meeting, and so we would also like to apologize for that. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Oh, sorry, Chair, I was talking to myself. Hello, Chair?
No. Why are you saying you're talking to yourself?
Oh, okay, because I see that I'm muted from my side, yeah, Chair.
There is a, they say, I've heard you.
You know
which man says so. I've heard you.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Look, thank you, DG. Thank you to the entities. Look, as the honorable members, let's agree. DG, under your supervision, under your supervision. In fact, one mistake we have made, even on this thing of the You can help. If it doesn't fit, please do it, but just tell us. You know, when we're dealing with all these issues, I remember in the presentation by, what you call it, by Mine Health and Safety Council, they had reported that they've got a center of excellence, which was also almost very close in doing the same work. Now, my fear is that MinTech runs the risk of being caught between what is done, leave the other issues on both mineral, especially mineral beneficiation, leave those issues. But I'm just want to deal with what is under the department. One of these researches that They may not necessarily be in the medical space, but they are similar to what MinTech is doing, but different probably in terms of product. If through your coordination, we can get, for an example, the Mine Health and Safety Council, amongst other things that they said they were looking at through that center of excellence, was the issue of a special design protective clothing for women, because of the nature of the cases that were being reported in other things underground. Now, the point I'm trying to say is that, for an example, they could be doing all the kinds of research designs and other intervention in terms of human health and safety requirements or demands or responsibilities. But when you look at MinTech also doing almost a similar work in terms of your sanitizers and so forth. I don't want to go to the experience that we have, but it would be nice to look at what work is being done under this department and what is the future projection. For an example, if you're going to have a state-owned, proactive thinking to me is very good, a state-owned pharmaceutical company, whether it's through nuclear medicine and other related issues, the truth of the matter, we must be able to then say, part of a scenario planning must give us that, to what extent, even from where we sit as a committee of parliament, can we monitor the progress towards that, and to what extent there could be a breakaway. For example, maybe that state-owned pharmaceutical company might end up directly being under the Department of Health or directly under the Department of Public Enterprise, because this field probably to which it has been operating, and whether it will operate as a supplier or it will operate as a manufacturer, will it still be? So that process itself must be clear on what is being done. So can I request that, can we get a comprehensive, and these are two entities where that experience we had when we were in Mossel Bay, where the same people in the same field but wanted to make separate presentations. Can we get how much work is being done on the field? I understand. I don't think MinTech and Nexa can put a consolidated talk to, was my main word when I was listening to the presentation, that it seems to talk not just on the work that Nexa is doing in terms of Kitapele, but it seems to me that there is a potential of a more distinct route that these entities themselves down the line will be running. So that we know whether we're forcing people that they are supposed to complement or to work on with each other, then identify the common areas which even now and in future can be able to share, even if it's on research or what, so that we know what specifically this thing does. But also let's look at whether these will be revenue generating initiatives, or they will be just on the point that Honorable Phillips was saying, for instance, where we run the risk that beyond what is supposed to be developmental mandate, you end up having the entities now chasing where the revenue is coming from. We once raised a similar thing when we're dealing with CGS. So what I'm trying to say, if you can put whether in a workshop form and see what is common between what is Mine Health and Safety Council doing with MinTech, as well as, I don't think there will be any close related, but they could be close related as far as operating as service providers or suppliers on the nature of work that is being performed by Nexa in relation to the management of nuclear material. So whether that they can rise to the occasion to build internal capacity within themselves as service or supplier. So my request is that we are giving you, it's November now. Most definitely by next year you can bring us something that is much more consolidated. They can, which is what I thought was the case, they can present in one report. In that one report, they can then decide who deals with which section and who deals with what section. But if those two or those three are completely separate, they cannot be able to integrate work that they do or forge relations of complementary work or cooperative or cooperation on specific projects. Let the committee hear that. Mm-hmm. So that we don't have a situation where I was worried when Mintek came, whether I should, in my mind, I must say, no, these two cannot work together. They can't do anything. But when I listened to the CEO, Dr. Mtogu, he was then explaining that they are more on the research and other related issues compared to what Nexa is doing. So I will give you that allowance because it's obviously it's this time of the year. It might require that we give you enough space. Is it possible to do so?
Yes, thank you very much. We will make sure that we comply with the directive and the resolutions of the meeting. Thank you very much.
Okay, please, we'll tell you now that we'll give you the date, but work on that thing probably by February, maybe mid-February or towards end February, we would need to see, so that by the time you bring us your APPs also work guided. Honorable members, I don't want to suppress anyone. Can we agree that we have exhausted this matter for today so that we go to the next one? Oh, they say silence means consent. Are you still in the meeting or is your gadgets that are in attendance?
Yes, sir. We did not hear what you were saying, sir. You were cut. You said honorable, yes. Then you went blank, then you say silence means consent. We did not hear it.
No. I'm saying do we agree now that we have exhausted this part so that I go to the next one and then we close the meeting?
Thank you, Chair. You may.
Indeed, okay. Chair. Okay. Honorable members, I thank you, Honorable Phyllis, but we'll deal with the issue next week. We received the information that you had said you'll supply. I have received, Honorable members, I thought because anything that is needed, it must go through the committee. Just put it on Ari or Ayanda. We received a letter of request. And I think it's necessary. Any member is allowed to do so, to request. That's the letter of request. Can you please, yes. It says recent reports have indicated a decisive and a swift move towards nuclear procurement on the part of the minister, of the minister and the department. I know that this is largely in contravention of the approved integrated resource plan, which does not make any allocation for new nuclear procurement in the IRP timeframe and states that South Africa should commence preparations for nuclear procurement at a pace and scale the country can afford. I am therefore concerned that the RIF, the RFI, and the request for Section 34 concurrence from NERSA are incredibly premature and are not in keeping with the intent of the IRP. Accordingly, I hereby request a comprehensive briefing on the subject with a detailed presentation as to what exactly the department envisages, what the timeline of this process is, what is the financial implication, whether, given the dysfunctionality of NERSA and ESCOM, the country has the capacity to handle a nuclear new build at this time, what consultative processes has been or will be followed, what alternatives have been considered, why the alternatives are not receiving the same fast-tracking as nuclear. I look forward to a prompt response to this request. Now, honorable members, for a matter to be on the, I just put this report. Remember what I said. I said every member has got a right to put a matter that must be considered for the program of the committee. The point is that now, by this time, the program for this quarter was agreed and adopted here. The only program that we might bring forward is the program for the first quarter 2021. Yes, 2021. I don't want us to discuss the matter here, whether it can be scheduled or not. It can be considered when we deal with the first, see whether it can be factored on the first quarter for 2021. Now, but I put it here because I didn't want to assume that it is meant for that quarter. Two, I put it here because if we've submitted the program, amending the program in the middle of it requires, for an example, a motivation on the agency of the matter, which is also subject, one, to the approval again by the committee, two, by the House Chair, three, by the availability of spaces on the virtual platform. So that is the reason. At times it's possible that we can agree as a committee that the matter requires an agenda attention, and if it is, if it requires an agenda attention, when we could meet physically, we could just write a request of or a notice of a meeting on that agenda matter. Unfortunately, all those three issues are for that. So I'm just putting this issue. Otherwise, if we're dealing with the first quarter report, I would have put what is proposed for that quarter and then say there is a correspondence to that request that a certain matter be accommodated, and then we deal with the matter. So at this stage, first let me go, oh sorry, that letter is from Honorable Malem, writing on his capacity as a member of parliament and of the committee, but also as a member of his party, which is the Democratic Alliance. So I'm saying, besides going to the contents, maybe let me give Honorable Malem, I avoid, honorable members, let me say this, I also avoid dealing with issues, because when you write or you exchange, sometimes you don't get a sense of feeling. You perceive or you anticipate what would be or what has been the reaction of the person. But everything is contained. So I didn't ascertain the agency, but I took it that the member has got a right to motivate to the committee, and then we take it from there. So let me give it now to Honorable Mylan. Honorable Mylan? I see Honorable Phillips.
Yes, Chair, I'm here. I just want to just check. I'm not quite sure if Honorable Malam's signal has dropped. Can I just try and contact him quickly?
Yeah, I only see that what is present here is the video, which is muted, but I don't see the mic. Can I, if that is the case, depending whether how long it does it take, can we agree that we'll schedule this for and then get it from him even next week, Tuesday?
Thank you, Chair. I'll pass that message on to him. It seems that there's an issue because his phone is just going straight to voicemail as well.
Okay. Let's say that next week, then we will deal with whether the matter is urgent or he was putting it as an urgent matter or is a matter that he says when we consider the program for 2021 first quarter, that this matter, because remember, even a program is tabled here, then members must discuss, and if there are other requests, they also have to be tabled in the committee, those requests for them to be accommodated. Let's then say we will deal with the matter and we'll table it again on Tuesday next week after the briefing of the committee. If you agree, Honorable, yeah, hello?
Chair.
Yes, Honorable Mashauli.
I don't know, Chair, whether it's fair for us to put the determination of the agency of the issue to one member of the committee because he wrote, as if we don't live in South Africa and we don't know what is going on in the nuclear space. I don't know. I don't the rationale there, Chair.
No.
I find it difficult. Okay.
No. The determination is made by the committee, but he has written, and I don't think it's reaching to me. I can't determine it for me. He is supposed then to motivate, and maybe he has written it to motivate the committee based on what he says. We'll make a determination, like we will do on a normal program. Even if it's presented by the chair, the program will be presented here, except if it is a program imposed by parliament.
Understood, Chair.
Yeah. Honorable members, being the case as it may, can we then agree that we will then meet next week, Tuesday? Thank you very much. Again, you reserved an hour again. You are released, honorable members. Thank you very much. Honorable Matoka, I'm touching Honorable Malinga for breakfast, please.